You are listening to The Beckett Cook Show with your host, Beckett Cook. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com. To help support the podcast, visit patreon.com/The Beckett Cook Show. Please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a 5-star rating.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Today I want to take a look at a New York Times article that once again denigrates motherhood and mothers and the family as well. And I mean, this is a common, very common theme in the New York Times. There's at least one, if not three or four articles that demean women, that that denigrate women and the family, and that have a feminist, very strong feminist undertone, if not just a tone or overtone. And these ideas have consequences, and it's, you know, we see the consequences all around us, which I'll get to later. Also, next week, I think I'm going to do an episode. It might be two-parter because there's a lot to cover, but I want to do the history, get into the history of the feminist movement and see how we got to where we are in culture. But the title of the article today is Jobs Aplenty, But a Shortage of Care Keeps Many Women from Benefiting. The subtitle is A Lack of Childcare and Elder Care Options Has Forced Some Women to Limit Their Hours or Sideline Them Altogether, Hurting Their Career Prospects. Now, before I get into the article, I just want to make a disclaimer. I'm not saying that women shouldn't work or that mothers shouldn't work, but it has now become the default position of our society and our culture that if a woman or a mother doesn't work, she's seen as somehow less than, or she's seen as some sort of anachronism, or, you know, someone to be pitied. And that's what, just when I read these articles, it just upsets me. So I want to get into this piece. It was written by three people, and it came out, I think, a week ago or a week or two ago. But I read these articles in the New York Times and they just flabbergast me. I don't understand what is going on. Obviously, again, these writers are writing from a place of darkness. They're writing from a place of not knowing the truth, not knowing God. And so, of course, this is going to be what they write about. And so in the first paragraph, the writers say a dearth of childcare is causing many women to reorganize their working lives and prompting some to forgo jobs altogether, hurting the economy at a moment when companies are desperate to hire and forcing trade-offs that could impair careers. So notice, in the very beginning of this article, it's the whole point is this is being a mother and not being able to work is hurting the economy. That's the point of it. It's not about hurting a child. It's hurting the economy. So it goes on to say, although plenty of men have, and it compares men and women in the workforce, of course, because they always have to take a dig at men and bash men. So it says, although plenty of men have also taken on increased care duties since the pandemic began, women perform most caregiving in America. And again, this is just once again undermining the man, the man in the household, the leader in the household. And it's just, again, denigrating men as well. And it's attacking the family. And then it goes on to say that mothers, it says mothers still work less than other women. So notice that line, that sentence, mothers still work less than other women. They're completely just disregarding the fact that raising children is a full-time career. It's a full-time job and it's the most important job in the world. Again, I'm going to read this again because it's so out of control. Mothers still work less than other women. as if mothers don't work. Again, mothers are vital, and motherhood is vital. And again, it's just once again, attacking mothers, attacking women who quote unquote stay at home mothers, which I've talked about in another episode, which is an absurd term, stay at home mothers. It's just the term should just be mothers. I don't know when that term was coined. Probably in the 80s or 70s after the feminist movement. But the article goes on to say that a deeper dive into the Labor Department's monthly survey of households shows that unmarried women without college degrees who have young children have returned to work more slowly than others, a sign that the shortage of care is making them particularly vulnerable. Now, I understand, like, we live in a time and a period in history where there are single mothers, obviously, and there are families that need double incomes. I'm not unaware of that, and I'm not denigrating that. I just was struck by this idea that the shortage of care is making them particularly vulnerable. And it's like, vulnerable to what? To being a mother? To caring for your young children? That's a bonus. Rather than looking at it as making these women vulnerable, we should see it as making these women able to stay home and nurture their children. I mean, that's, so it's just, again, it's just a completely twisted view of motherhood. The article goes on, those forced to cut back on work could face lasting disadvantages. They are missing out on an unusual moment of worker power in which many employees are bargaining for higher wages or switching to more lucrative jobs. So again, it's like motherhood is seen as irrelevant. They just dismiss motherhood altogether. And it's like it's like, if you stay at home with your children, you're missing out on a lucrative career. Like, why on earth would you stay home with your young infants or children that need you? Because there are lucrative careers out there. And again, I know that we are in a time in history where this is the norm, but I just want to push back a little bit on this, because this is a dangerous norm that by default, women are supposed to have a full-time career and be full-time mothers at the same time. And it's so awful to women. It's just mean to do that to women. It just puts enormous pressure on women in our culture that they have to, you know, women can, I don't know when, I think in the 90s, that was when the whole phrase, women can have it all, you know, like it became a thing on Oprah Winfrey or Martha Stewart or whatever, like women can have it all, career, family, love life. Like, it's like, I forgot who said this, but, I think Nancy Piercy talked about this in the last episode, that yes, women can have it all, but not all at the same time. I forgot who said that. And then the article goes on to say, economists have long identified a lack of available and affordable childcare as a reason that American women do not work more. So again, it's all about economy, and it's like, what about family? What about the family? What about the importance of the family and nurturing young children and infants? And again, I talk about this all the time, but, and this isn't just about women, this is about men too. I mean, when there's not this family unit that is all working together in concert to nurture and raise children in love and to give them the attention that children need, we see the results of it all around us. I mean, I live in LA, it's crazy here right now. There's so much homelessness. There's mental illness, which is a result mostly of mental illness, which is a result of drug addiction, which is a result of trauma in childhood. From a lot of it is from lack of love from parents in childhood, and broken families and divorce. And the New York Times, again, I always say this, the New York Times is always stunned and shocked at the homeless crisis or this crisis or the opioid crisis. And it's like, New York Times, dear New York Times, you created this crisis by penning these kinds of articles for the last 50, 60 years and more even. But it's a constant assault on the family. These kinds of articles, and obviously TV shows and movies, et cetera, do the same thing. But the New York Times is kind of like the main culprit that's sort of driving these other institutions and these other kind of media outlets. And so it's so crazy to me that the New York Times is always surprised at kind of the crumbling of society. And it's like, well, you caused it. Okay. Again, it says, it's all about the money, right? It's all about the economy. And it says, until 1995, the U.S. was the world's leader in terms of female labor force participation, says a Harvard economist. Now, this host of countries that we used to think were backward in terms of gender norms have exceeded the U.S. So again, it goes back to gender norms. And again, the New York Times and the feminist movement, which we'll get into next week, but it's just constantly pitting men against women and distorting gender norms that were created by God in Genesis 1 and 2. Because we know in Genesis that God created men and women with equal value, but with different roles. The Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, they have equal value. They're equal in value, but they have different roles, just as men and women do. And by the way, being a mother is the most amazing role anyone could ever have. I've talked about this before. It's the most creative thing you can do in life. It's the most beautiful vocation you can have in life. Going to work 80 hours a week as a lawyer or something is the most taxing, burdensome thing you could do. Being a mother is a beautiful, beautiful thing to be. So I just want to encourage you guys out there who, if you're mothers and you feel kind of this assault by society, this attack on you as a mother, as a stay-at-home mom or whatever, I want you to just realize that it's all a lie. It's all a feminist lie. And it goes back to Satan, because Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan wants to destroy not only us, but he wants to destroy the family. He wants to destroy everything. And then the article goes on to say, employers are missing a key source of labor at a time when they have nearly 2 job openings for every unemployed person. And again, children are missing a key source of nurture. So this article doesn't even take into account children. It doesn't take into account the well-being and the health of children. And all it's concerned about are employers and the economy. It's not concerned about women. This article is not concerned about women. This article is concerned solely about the economy and pushing this kind of feminist ideology to attack the family. So again, it's missing the point that instead of employers are missing a key source of labor, children are missing a key source of nurture. That's the point. And I think of my own mother. My grandmother actually had her own business. My grandfather was an architect, and my grandmother decided that she wanted to go into business and had her own business. And my mother really suffered the consequences of that, because I think she did it when my mother was very young. Maybe, I don't even remember, maybe 2 years old or something. And so my mother was essentially raised by her grandmother. And my mother, because of that, had all kinds of mental health issues, because it wasn't until late into, I think in her 30s, my mother realized that she started going to counseling, and she realized that as a young child, she felt, even though she didn't realize it at the time, she was rejected. She felt that rejection from her mother because her mother, I mean, I love my grandmother. She was amazing. But my grandmother, for some reason, chose work over, she didn't need to work. So she chose to work over, you know, raising my mother. And it really had this negative impact on my mother. And it followed her throughout her entire adulthood. And she had a lot of insecurities and a lot of just anxiety and emotional issues because of that. So I'm so thankful to my own mother that, you know, my own mother stayed home with us. She had 8 children. So my mother had help with her, you know, but she was there all the time with us. She was at home. And my father worked, you know, 40 hours a week. My father was a lawyer and he worked, but he was always, you know, my father was very just regimented. Like he was home every night. At, I want to say like 5:30, he came home at every night, 5:30. We had dinner at 6, all of us around the table, all 10 of us around the dining room table. We had dinner together every night. And every time before dinner, my dad would say grace over the meal. And it was just so, it just created such an environment of security and consistency that has helped me throughout my life. And that's so important to build that security for kids. And I appreciate that about my mother. And when I was in high school, I was obviously the last child in my family in high school. And my mother at that point, I think I was a sophomore in high school. She decided to start going into my father's office and helping work with him. And she was basically like his secretary or one of his secretaries or something. I can't remember what she did. But even then, she asked me later on, if she asked me, I think a few years later, that if that affected me because she wasn't home after I got home from school in high school. But by that time, you know, I was a teenager and it was fine, you know, so it didn't really affect me, but I was so grateful to have her there with me. And I just, there were so many moments as a child. I remember this moment in kindergarten. She picked me up from kindergarten and we went, because kindergarten ended at noon and the rest of my siblings got out of school at like 3, I think. But she picked me up and we went and got food somewhere at a restaurant to go, and we went home, and I just remember this, like, we just had this kind of magical moment together that afternoon. It was just my mother and myself, and we just had this kind of time together, and it was such a, I'll never forget it. It was such a kind of quiet, lovely time with her. Because normally there were so many kids running around the house that it was hard. But anyway, I just appreciate that. And again, if you're a mom and you had to work, and I get it, like we live in a time in history where that is the case in a lot of situations, and it's unfortunate, but and I think all of that can be traced back to the feminist movement, but that's where we are in our culture. And some people have to deal with that and have to work and have to put their, you know, infants or young children, toddlers in daycare. And I get that, but it's not ideal. And I wish we could, I wish we could kind of go back to the roles that God designed. 'Cause God obviously knows, I always say this, God, the Father knows best. God knows what's best for us. He designed us in a specific way to function a certain way in marriage, a man and a woman in marriage, and a father and a mother, and the man's role versus the woman's role. And it, it's just that design is how we flourish as human beings. It's how we flourish the best as human beings. And so anyway, I hope that helps. Next week, I'll get into the gory details of the feminist movement and we can look at that. It may take me 2 episodes to do it because it's a lot of information, but it'll be interesting. And I'm going to give you some crazy quotes from, I've read a few books on this, but from Christina Hoff Sommer's book, Who Stole Feminism. She's a feminist and she's not a believer, but she has some amazing, crazy quotes about the kind of the aggressiveness of the feminist movement now in our culture. Anyway, we'll get to that next week, but thank you guys for watching and I'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Beckett Cook Show. Your support makes this content possible. All episodes of The Beckett Cook Show are also available on YouTube. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com. or wherever you get your podcast.